Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we commemorate a saint and sinner just like us who struggled with an evil conscience. It is Saint Martin of Tours. Of course, that for me, as one who served as a military chaplain, is particularly important. A young man, Martin of Tours, who was born in 316 AD, served as an officer in the Roman army. One day he encountered a poor beggar shivering from the cold. Martin drew his sword, cut his military cape in two, and covered the beggar with one half. That night, according to tradition, Christ appeared to Martin in a dream, wearing half the cape when he had given to the beggar, and allegedly spoke, "Martin, a mere catechumen, has clothed me." Martin eventually became a cleric, founded a monastery, and over the years, his piety and devotion to Christ became so well known that he was installed as the Bishop of Tours, France, by popular demand. Following his death, the remaining half of Martin's cape became an object of veneration. French kings had the cape carried into battle and prepared a tent-like portable shrine for it. In Latin, the shrine was called a capella. The priest who was given responsibility for the cappa and the capella was called the capellanus. It is through the derivation of these terms that we now have the English words for chapel and chaplain. Consequently, since medieval days, Martin of Tours has been identified as those who served with military chaplains. Of course, for us Lutheran chaplains, Martin of Tours has an additional significant connection. On November 10th in 1483, Hans and Margaret Luther of Eisleben, Germany, welcomed the birth of a new baby boy. And following the custom of the times, they had their infant baptized the following day. And since November 11th was the date of the Christian Church traditionally remembered and honored St. Martin of Tours, the baby was named Martin Luther. Well, how am I squeezing that in today with our text? Well, as I started to begin with, I think when they started to venerate and warriors brought this into battle with them, they're all trying to find a way to ease their conscience, their dirty conscience, the filth, the stench of their sin. And I know that in chapel today, we all come from different backgrounds. Some of you come from rural areas, some from suburban, and some from urban. There is a diverseness of culture here among us at this seminary, and many of us were raised in different settings and situations. We all have different influences and situations of people who brought us to this place. Yet God has gotten us all here this morning in His chapel to hear His word, despite our own diverse backgrounds and our own diverse situations in life. There's one thing that we all have in common with St. Martin of Tours, and yes, even Martin Luther. We are all poor, miserable sinners who need forgiveness and salvation, or we will die eternally in hell. We desire to have a clean conscience, as our text mentions. You see, the law has crushed us, and we know that we have sinned against God and against our neighbor. We want to be clean, yet we can't seem to get that stench off of us, that stench of sin. Now, it's not a lack of trying. We try to rationalize away our sin and thinking it isn't all that bad and nobody really got hurt, or at least I'm not as bad as that guy. Or we may try to deny it altogether by redefining terms and revaluing what is a sin or not. Maybe we even think that we can do it in the dark of night and no one really know about it. Yet you know, and I know, that our conscience is lulled asleep or even seared, it will end up filling us with guilt and shame. We need forgiveness to have our conscience completely cleaned. In our text, we are reminded that the priest stood day after day ministering and offering the sacrifices over and over, hoping to get that stench of sin off the people, to clean their conscience, to get them forgiveness. Yet verse 11 of our text reminds us that it never takes away sins. And our text does not leave us hopeless. Listen again to this passage. "Therefore, brothers, have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Did you hear what it said about us and the presence of God? We, with the stench of sin on us, can now come to God in boldness and confidence because of the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. By a new and living way, through and by his flesh, God's presence is now ours. We can come to him because of what Christ has done for us. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed in pure water. My friends, you may now know that with all boldness and confidence, you can draw near to God. You can come to this capella, this chapel, with the stench of sin being taken away because God has made you clean and taken your sin. In your baptism, you were washed in pure water, which God reached down into the muck and mire of your sinfulness, the stench, and made you clean. Forgave you your sins and gave you life and salvation. God sprinkles your heart clean with the waters of holy baptism, and in the Lord's Supper, where you receive his very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. So do you feel guilty of sin and troubled of conscience? Are you utterly aware that you deserve God's wrath and punishment? Are you sorry for your sin and need of forgiveness? Do you see how, from the curse of sin, your body and blood are failing? Hear this word of our Lord in our text. Draw near to God. Apart from God, there is only sin, death, and condemnation. In his presence, there is forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. Draw near to God as he draws near to you in his word and sacraments. Let us hold fast unto this confession of our hope, that is in Jesus, without wavering, our text says. Why? Because he who promised forgiveness, life, and salvation in his name is faithful. We encourage one another. We are concerned about one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, even more so as the day of judgment is approaching. No one likes to think that way. We really do need to live as if we are dying. Either we will die or Jesus will return on that last day, the day of judgment. That is a fact. So our text for today prepares us for both, to live here on earth, but also to live for all eternity with Jesus, our priest and our king. We know and believe that we are one in Christ, no matter what backgrounds we come from. We all have been washed in the waters of baptism and cleansed with the blood of Jesus. So, my dear friends, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Jesus, as our high priest, atones for your sins and makes intercession for you. And Jesus, your King, gives you amnesty for the debt and burden of your sins and declares the price paid in full in Christ. As the King, he defeated the enemy once and for all. Jesus brings us into the Father's presence and gives us his flesh as our way to the Father and his blood to cleanse us from an evil conscience. My friends, may that always be your confession of hope. And remember, by the grace of God, for Christ's sake, through faith, your sins are forgiven and your conscience is clean. He who promised this is faithful. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.